Blog Talk Radio.
Stay sober, I'm the reason that you drink. And when your heart starts falling, I can make you stop and think. Everybody feels me, but no one out there really wants to know me. I'm the chip that's on your shoulder that you can't seem to shake. And the reason you grow colder, 'cause you make the same mistakes. I can help you learn right from wrong, and even make you stronger if you let me. Everybody knows my name. Try your best to hide me, but there ain't no disguise. You can smile just to spite me, but I'm still there in your eyes. The only way you can erase me is to turn around and face me and myself to blame. Tears you cry, and into your father's arms you will go, and bless the day you finally rose above me. But in the hearts of those who loved you, I'll remain. Pain.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this evening's Black Coffee Talk. Tonight, we have the WAMRDB B2B Outreach segment with GVRA for information for individuals with disabilities who want to work. The artist that you heard opening our show tonight with that lovely song is Mr. Philip McCurry. He is our featured artist this evening. I want to start off by welcoming Ms. Patricia Hunt. She is Atlanta's own and a WXIA-TV Emmy-nominated news reporter. And I am so thrilled to have her doing this interview tonight, and I would like for her to come in and give you all an introduction to her guest tonight.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Bless your heart. I tell you what, Jackie, now we've talked with this lady before. Her name is Robin Folsom. Robin is with the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency. She's the Marketing and Communications Manager. Welcome to the show again, Robin. It's awfully good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's awfully good to talk to you again, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit you all twice.
Wonderful. Well, we hope it won't be the last time, Robin. We really do.
I hope not.
You're full of information, and it's really good to hear. Now, tonight, we're going to focus on what the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency does. Put simply, it is to find employment for disabled workers, putting those workers to work. How about that? But tonight we're going to give you a different perspective of the agency. Tonight we're going to focus on technology and the disabled. And Robin, you have seen some amazing success where technology has played a very significant role in the lives of so many thousands of Georgia workers, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, technology is a part of all of our lives. We are so dependent on it to an extent that most people can relate to leaving the phone at home. And we use our phones not just to make calls, but to find directions, to look up restaurants, to make reservations, and everything in between. And that's just a common daily example, but there are so many things that we do in the spectrum of services we offer to our clients that integrate technology to improve people's opportunities for success at work and living independence at home, which funnels into success in the workplace. And, of course, we are the state's vocational rehabilitation agency. Our mission is to connect Georgians to meaningful careers and help them maximize living independence. And we have more than 40 local offices around the state. So a client who comes to us gets an assessment for services. Oftentimes those services include assistive technology. The key criteria for anyone who comes to us is that that person has to have a permanent disability. But as we discussed the last time we had a conversation, that can look like a whole lot of different things. A disability is not just that person in a wheelchair or someone who is blind or someone who is deaf. Some disabilities are cognitive. For example, you can't see autism. You can't see something that is classified as a mental illness. Many times a person may have a disability, be that successful person in the office next to you at work, and you never knew it.
Yes. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to disclose something. I don't talk about this a lot, but I have a disability, Robin. And I'm sure, I bet you can't guess what that disability is. I mean, a bona fide legal disability. I suffer bipolar disorder.
Say that again?
When I anchored the TV news in Atlanta, Georgia for 10 years, I was suffering with bipolar disorder. But I did that job, and I did it well.
Mm-hmm.
I was a news reporter with bipolar disorder. And if I can work through my disability, I can believe other people can work through their disabilities. Can you believe that?
And, you know, that
I'll just bet the lady who hired me to do this job for her tonight didn't know that I suffered that disability. But that is a legal disability, isn't it, Robin?
It is, absolutely. And that is the story with so many people, which is why we look at the big picture. When a client comes to one of our offices and receives an assessment, someone may use a wheelchair for mobility, but maybe the biggest issue that impacts their success in the workforce right now might be clinical depression or might be bipolar disorder. So it is not always the most visible thing, and someone may make an assumption that the use of that wheelchair poses a challenge, and that may not be the case. The individual may have that mastered, and they've been doing it every day for 20 years, but they may be looking for the tools needed, be it medication or be it access to therapy, to help deal with something like clinical depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and it's stepping up and embracing those tools and managing it and being brave and pushing ahead. And all of those things are possible and doable. And we're just here to support people as they strive for success. We're just a support engine.
Robin, tell me, how many people in Georgia are we talking about with disabilities? How many people are we talking about?
So many more than people think. There are about 1.2 million people in the state who have some kind of disability, and that's the total population, children, adults. There are around 650,000 who are working age, and working age is 18 through 65.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And how many of those people do you serve? Does the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency serve?
Right now, we are serving around 40,000. In the next 3 to 5 years, we have a goal of serving 100,000. So
wow.
Someone who comes to us at a local office would work with a team of professionals who helps develop an individualized employment plan. And that can mean anything from conventional job placement to help with applications to college, graduate school, accommodations, job training, or technology. At GVRA, though, and the picture is larger than that. Some people are familiar with Roosevelt Warm Springs, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away from Atlanta, which is where I am
mm-hmm.
tonight. And
mm-hmm.
Roosevelt Warm Springs, of course, has the rich historical legacy associated with President Roosevelt. Now,
yes.
There, independent living skills are taught, but there are far more services than just independent living skills. There are technical courses and certifications that a student can earn on campus to help them advance their career. Cave Springs is a campus in North Georgia that teaches mostly young adults independent living skills that will help them succeed as they step out into their careers and make steps towards further progress. The Business Enterprise Program helps entrepreneurs who are blind start ventures on government sites, both state and federal, in the food service and vending industry.
And that's major, isn't it?
It is major, and there's more of a focus on looking at opportunities for people to shape their career around their individual strengths.
Right.
While we do connect people to existing jobs that are posted, say, work with a business partner, a major employer, and they tell us, I need an engineer, or I'm looking to fill this position that's available. And we may have a person who has that exact skill set and help make that connection. There are also people who maybe have a skill set that might not fit what you call a conventional job, but they make something. They're an inventor or something like that. And so we're looking at ways to help shape jobs around individuals with those kinds of magnificent talents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Disability Adjudication Services is also us. And finally, down in Bainbridge, Georgia, there is Georgia Industries for the Blind. That's a factory that makes everything from they've got a production line that makes pillows, the classification folders like you find in offices. And when you travel up and down interstates in Georgia, you see Department of Transportation workers who wear bright yellow reflective vests. Those are made at Georgia Industries for the Blind. And the machine that makes them is very impressive. It's a massive piece of equipment. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of training to operate all of these things. One of the things that's most impressive.
So every time we see the Department of Transportation workers, our audience should think about the blind in Georgia. Is that correct?
That's right, because at GIB, which we call it, there are about, I believe, 200 employees. And because of the program under which GIB functions, the way it's funded, 75% of its workforce has to be legally blind to meet that criteria. And we're talking about a factory. And it doesn't sound like the typical working population at a manufacturing
plant.
You know?
How can you get the blind to run successfully a factory?
Well, it's an amazing place to
visit. Tell me how technology is used in that.
I've been to GIB once and look forward to going back, of course. It's part of our GVRA family. And I was amazed on my first visit, because first of all, they make so many different things. Like I said, they make the pillows, the folders, and those vests. And so the people there are they're manufacturing professionals, so they're cross-trained. And as you watch them move from place to place on the production floor, they do it seamlessly. They do more than just one thing. So there's that skill, which I was impressed with to begin with. And second, the employees and the engineers who are there on site, the engineers work for GIB2. They've used what is called assistive technology to take the equipment that makes all of these things, all of these products, and modified them, whatever is needed to make it easier for an individual who is blind to use the equipment to get the job done. So the goals are for the individual to thrive, keep up production time, and to avoid injuries. And I'll share one other thing about GIB with you as well. In manufacturing, there is a safety standard embraced industry-wide, and GIB has a top safety standard. I heard a statistic while I was at a meeting today, or a number rather. It has been 1,265 days since there's been an injury that's resulted in any loss of time. And if you think about a big plant with a bunch of people in it doing a lot of different things, 1,265 days, you're talking about years. That's a long time. So they have a excellent record.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, you know, as you know, I come from the TV business. And when I think of a story like that going on in a factory, getting blind people to actually produce, become producers, I want to see that thing in pictures. And I would like you and me, Robin, to dream one day of us actually having a TV operation where we can go into that factory and actually videotape the blind doing what one day was the impossible of actually manufacturing and producing. Can you imagine that?
That is such a cool thing, and it's a story that, of course, lends itself to being told visually. I come from television news as well, and Bainbridge would have actually been in my television market. And so when I first learned of this, and I was coming into the agency and learning all of these cool ways technology is used, I said, where was that story when I was covering stories in that area? I would have liked to.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you would have been able to do that.
Very cool.
Give me an example of some pieces of technology that someone might find at the GIB. Georgia.
There's one thing that comes to mind. There are some goggles, glasses, called eSight goggles. They're not much larger than standard safety goggles, I would say. Maybe a little bulkier, and they do strap all the way around the back of the head to keep them in place. We have an engineer there. Her name's Alina Garcia-Ravello, and she's a brilliant employee and very talented engineer. And she adopted their use for our agency and brought them into GIB.
May I interrupt just a second? I have a question with regard to the engineer.
Sure, Jack.
Is the engineer challenged with sight as well?
Alina has what is called 20/200 vision, which means she has vision loss but some functional sight. Yes.
Oh wow.
And
now let me, Robin. Can I just share this little bit about Jackie?
Yes.
Jackie is a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from her work here with Atlanta Fix Mix Radio, apart from her work here, she works as a social worker for a contractor who works for the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency. So she's quite an expert on the subject herself. And we're going to be talking with Jackie a little bit more on in the program, specifically about what she does. So carry on, Jackie. I just wanted to establish that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hunt. Ms. Folsom, I am fascinated. I myself have visited Cave Springs. I work for an agency, the Fraser Center, and we work with individuals with significant developmental and intellectual disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited the Cave Springs location, and I was amazed and inspired. I
yes.
want to interject that in. It's a fabulous sight, you know, the ability to pull out the abilities and skills of individuals and showcase them and give them confidence to be able to work, I think is a part of what we all should be about with GVRA.
I'm very glad you said that. You know, what we want to focus on most at our agency is the ability of the individual. We're all able to do great things, and it's focusing on that and that often becoming the individual becoming his or her own best advocate that leads to greater success in the workplace and other areas of life. Self-confidence can be a beautiful thing once you have the job, when you're advocating to get the job, when you're interviewing. And both Cave Springs and Roosevelt Warm Springs do an excellent job at helping individuals embrace self-advocacy. And that's one benefit and one thing that the staff there is very good at.
And, you know, that brings up – oh, I'm sorry. I know that you do have to go, Ms. Folsom, but I – and that brings us to – what I do as far as the advocacy is concerned. But I wanted to make sure that I thank you so much, and WAMR thanks you for being here tonight and telling us all this. This segment on Monday night rejuvenates me in the work I do, and I hope it reaches some of the individuals that are listening and inspires them as well to look at individuals with disabilities for their abilities as well.
Thank you for serving Georgians.
I love it, and I know you do too.
I do.
So we're going to say goodbye to you at this point in time, and again, I enjoyed hearing what you had to say so much. And Ms. Hunt and I are going to take a little break and have a commercial while we get some other things together and pay some bills.
Thank you, Jackie.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes I did the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, so five tacos. a cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway.
We are back from commercial, and we're moving on into our next segment. I would like to bring into the conversation Ms. Karima Ali to share with us some information she has on this subject. Karima, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I really appreciate the show. It was a lot of information. It was great. I just want to thank Ms. Hunt and yourself. I mean, this thing is huge, guys. This is a great opportunity to be a part of something that all of us, so I'm starting to see that we're all connected to. We have a common thread to this. And I never, ever, ever, I was just blown away with the fact that you yourself has, you know, have what they would say, a disability. My mama would say, you know, it's just a setback. But, you know, we really appreciate the fact that GVRA has really impacted the lives of myself and so many other people in a positive way. I want to thank Mario Coleman, who's a veteran, who is basically also in the what do they call it? The legal system, you know, help us protect and to serve our community, that he's not here tonight. But I want to thank those individuals. And we also want to let people call in at 516-387-1251, thanking you all for, you know, continuing to support this B2B business outreach. I myself am legally a disabled individual myself. And, you know, Ms. Hunt, you just kind of blew me away. You hit me there.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, Roberta.
It's not something I talk about a lot, but it's a reality. And it's something that I've had to overcome. And I am overcoming every day. It's a process that continues. Karima, if I may, I would like to take this moment to give our listeners a website of how they can contact GVRA, the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency. We'll give this website address right now, and we'll give it again before we leave. So right now, grab a pen, a small piece of paper, and write down www.ablegeorgia.ga.gov. Okay, let me do that one more time. A-B-L-E, Able, Georgia, G-E-O-R-G-I-A dot G-A dot G-O-V dot. Okay? I just wanted to throw that in so that people could who feel like GVRA could help them in any way could contact them and be able to be served by this very very energetic project that they have. They want to go from now serving 40,000 people a year to serving as many as 100,000 people a year, and they're talking about doing it in a reasonably short period of time. They expect to do this within 3 to 5 years from now. Can you believe that? That's a very energetic, ambitious goal they have.
It definitely is. And I'd also like to add that GVRA can also help with assessments and things of that nature to help assess the level of disability. To if someone is suspects they may have a disability or delay, they can still contact the agency and get assessments surrounding that as well.
Yes,
that's something that a lot of people don't know. They work with doctors, psychologists, etc., to get people diagnosed as well.
Right. And I want to reiterate again, just one more time, Jackie, you speak with some level of authority because you are a social worker who works as a who works for a contractor that does work for the GVRA. And so you are very much now tell us very quickly, Jackie. What exactly do you do in that job? Now, I know you work as a social worker, but what exactly do you do for the disabled?
I'm a supported employment specialist is the job title. My background in social work assists me in being able to do this in this particular setting. The Fraser Center is a day program that serves individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Now, among those individuals, there are people that want to work. And I was brought on board to work with the Georgia Vocational Rehab Agency. To what I do is I train individuals. I help them find out what their abilities and skills and interests are. And then we go out and try to develop positions for them or help them to apply for positions that are already existing.
Yes.
And it requires a lot of work and advocacy.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this, Jackie, just a very simple question. What is the hardest part of your job of actually assessing a person and helping them arrive at what exactly is their disability and how will they go to work with that disability? How do you do that?
You know, there are, I don't think I can name one hardest part. It's kind of all working together. And the hardest part is dealing with mindsets. And what I mean by that is, a lot of the individuals we serve are in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And even though now in the school system there is more of a push toward individuals coming out of high school being prepared for the workforce, even if they do have an intellectual or developmental delay. Back in the day, it was said to individuals, it was assumed that they would never have a job, that they would be taken care of by the government. So a lot of the mindset is they don't have the same social skills that we were, you know, taught, because
our parents knew that we were going to get out and get a job because they wanted us out of the house. But so they taught us certain social skills and things that were appropriate. Now, if you look at the individuals that I serve, oftentimes they have been told, oh, well, they're special. Don't worry about it. Just let them do what they do. So that's a part of it, you know, helping the individual to understand that there are expectations. Also dealing with families and the caregivers who, when I go to them and say they want a job and I'm talking to them about all these different aspects that we're looking at, and they go, they can't do that. And I go, oh, yes, they can. Mm-hmm. And also the mindset of employer when I go, especially, like I said, with individuals with developmental and intellectual delays. Mm-hmm. When I go to employers, they're like, well, I don't have anything here that they can do.
Right.
And I have to help the employer to see where individuals with certain skills could help them to be more efficient in their time management, in their by taking over some of the duties, and that can be taken off of other employees, etc.
Yes, you mentioned something to me about jobs that a person with a disability, for some people, but not for others, could do, what was it? Shredding documents.
That was one.
Tell me that story again.
That was one that is discovered, and I'm working with some individuals where their abilities were overlooked, and it was discovered through me working with them, doing assessments, talking with them. You know, sometimes I'm out in the community with individuals. I go into the homes and see what it is they can do at home. But there are these two particular individuals who enjoy the tedious task of shredding documents. And
uh-huh.
There are so many places. I am undertaking the task of going out into the community and talking to doctors and attorneys and giving them the option of having these individuals take that tedious work off of paralegals and whoever else, or nursing assistants or whatever, taking that tedious task off of them and allowing these individuals to have the job of shredding those sensitive documents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people hadn't thought about, but that consumes a lot of time for
yes.
people in different office areas, and with identity theft being a danger, et cetera, you know, it's obvious
mm-hmm.
that some places have been very busy because documents have been found that should have been shredded in dumpsters, and people's identities are being stolen. So this is a niche market for these two individuals.
Yes. One thing you told me about some of the disabled is that they actually found shredding documents to be comforting.
It is. It is. One of the individuals has the diagnosis of autism. He does not deal well with chaos and loud noises, et cetera, but the soothing sound of the shredder works very well for him. That is something that soothes him.
Uh-huh.
So it took something that was considered a disadvantage or a behavior and looked at it and turned it on its side and looked at it and said, how can this be used to help others?
Yes.
And to help this young man to get himself a job.
Exactly. He's gainfully employed.
Right. Well, we're working on it. I'm knocking on doors. We're working on trying to get him employed. I do something called customized employment, and it's something that's brand new to Georgia Vocational Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And
what it is I do myself and two other employees that work under me in this department. We were trained to be able to go out and do in-depth assessments of individuals. And that is to go out into the home, watch them, how they interact at home, take mm-hmm. them out into the community and see what they're good at and what strikes their fancy. Some mm-hmm. individuals don't communicate with words but have very good skills that we could use. So we have to watch them to see what those skills are yes. and where their likes and dislikes are.
Uh-huh.
So it's
so
a
you
very
you
interesting
find a place for people.
Exactly. I believe that everybody, you know, the basis of my job is advocating on behalf of people who cannot advocate for themselves and also teaching them to advocate for themselves.
Mhm. Mhm. Boy, what a noble calling.
It is a calling. I don't consider it that noble, but it is a calling.
I think it is.
Thank you. I grew up in the home with my uncle, who has the challenge of cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh.
And it was severe to the point where all of his activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, being fed, all that required assistance.
Uh-huh.
However, what abilities he had, our family, you know, John was the babysitter when, you know, we needed him to be because he could alert us if we were in the kitchen and the kids were up to no good. You know, we allowed John to take his place and have roles and responsibilities in our family.
Wonderful.
We
made him useful.
Yes. And he is a happy member of our family, and he knows it, and all the kids in the family love Uncle John. He has held all of them, even if he required assistance to do so at times. So to mm-hmm. be able to understand, I came from a background where I understand that everybody has the ability to take some responsibility in their own lives, even if they need assistance doing so.
Wonderful. Well, Jackie, it's been wonderful working with you tonight.
You too, Mrs. Hunt.
Listen,
I of course,
I wonder
enjoy
if
my
I could give that website address again for GBA.
Please do.
Website for anyone who wants to contact the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency. If you want to contact them for either of two reasons, perhaps you are a person who has a disability and you want some help in finding work. Perhaps you're a potential employee. I'm not employee, a potential employer who is interested in hiring someone with a disability. And there are all kinds of reasons to hire someone with a disability, including tremendous tax breaks. We'll talk about that possibly next week on our program. But the website to contact GVRA is ablegeorgia.ga.gov. Again, that's able, A-B-L-E, G-E-O-R-G-I-A .ga.gov. Just wanted to put that plug in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I also wanted to take just a moment to thank Senator Donzella James for her outreach. She was instrumental in developing this program and being a part of putting this idea together. So I would like to thank Senator James for all her assistance and her outreach. I also want to let you guys know, all of you listeners,
you can go on Facebook to our Facebook page at WAMR, DB. I've been saying DD all night, but WAMRDB to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook and follow us. We have some very interesting information. And as always, on Friday nights at 9 o'clock, Black Coffee, Ms. Hunt, that's my other personality, Black Coffee will show up to entertain you on Friday nights at 9 o'clock on this same Bat Channel. And Ms. Hunt, I want to thank you for being such a wonderful interviewer this evening. I enjoyed really your insightful questions and your ability to draw the information all of us need. I want to say goodnight on behalf of WAMR and the entire Atlanta Mix Radio family. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope we brought you some pleasure this evening. Good night.